Christmas is a wonderful time of year, one that I've enjoyed ever since I was young. And of course, over the years, you know, Christmas's celebrations change a little over the years. And as loved ones pass on or pass away, things change a little bit. But Christmas has always been a time that I really enjoy getting together with family and friends. That's a big part of the Christmas celebration for me. But you know what? There's other things that I enjoy too about Christmas time. Food. Okay, food's always good. I don't know why I tend to eat things that are less healthy but much better tasting. And just even Christmas and Easter, they're two times I really enjoy because we often get together and worship the Lord in special services or just a special time of year. So coming here, even today, and then I'm looking forward to Christmas Eve, getting together and worshiping with each and every one of you, it's a joy. It's something I look forward to in the holiday season. What else about Christmas is enjoyable? Well, the age-old tradition of exchanging Christmas presents is something that I've looked forward to since I was very young. Of course, we all know that Jesus' birth is the reason we celebrate Christmas. Jesus' birth is what we celebrate. Gift exchanges are often celebrated by many families, and it has become a traditional part of the celebration of Jesus' birth. That's it. It's a part of the celebration, not the reason for the celebration. So what is the best or worst Christmas gift you've ever received? As I'm thinking, my memory must not be that good. Because I was thinking, okay, what's the best Christmas gift I've had since? And I have a couple that stood out as being good, but I'm kind of a flashlight guy. I'm going to tell you, I'm a little crazy when it comes to flashlights. It's dumb. I don't know. But I just like flashlights. So one year, Juanita got me a 3-cell D-cell LED mag light. And from our house that we lived over here, I could spotlight our neighbor's house like a half a mile away. That was the best flashlight ever. And when I would flash my kids in the face, they would be blinded for at least 5 minutes. It was the best light ever. And then the next year or two later, she gets me this really bright headlight that lasts and recharges. And I know, it's a little crazy. I remember one Christmas that I was at my grandparents' place, and my grandfather decided that he was going to give my grandmother some jumper cables. He wrapped it up, and he gave it to her for Christmas. I remember thinking, okay, that might have been a need, and okay, buy it and just put it in her car. It's not really a wrap and gift kind of thing. And I think my grandpa learned the hard way. But since I remember that, I learned from that too. Yet the greatest gift of all is the gift of the greatest gift of all is what God has given us, and that is His Son, Jesus Christ. Right? I think many of us are here this morning would say yes. John 3:16, many of you know this verse, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." If you don't have that verse memorized, please do. This verse gives us a summary of God, it gives us a summary of the Bible, it gives us a summary of God's work. Out of love, God gave His Son, Jesus, and whoever believes and follows Him will have eternal life. God gave His Son because of His love for humanity. Christmas is Jesus coming into the world. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." We just saw that eternal life is the result of His Son, Jesus Christ, in John 3:16. Without God's gift, without Jesus, we face death, but with Him, we look forward to eternal life with Christ. Jesus is really the perfect gift. The perfect gift. So let's do a little comparison when it comes to giving the traditional giving of presents and Jesus Christ. So a question I have is the gift of Jesus for me? Is the gift of Jesus for you? When I was young, on Christmas morning, before we would start opening presents, me and my siblings, my brother and sister, we'd snoop around. We would see all the presents under the tree, and we would see, was our name on it? You know, name tags. We would look and see, you know, who got what present? How many did I have my name on? Did I have more than my brother or sister? And so I really enjoyed having the name tags on there. My mom, on the other hand, she didn't like to play fun. She would hide initial or something around in a corner someplace so we would never see who that one was for. So there'd be several gifts under there with no name on it. It annoyed me. It wasn't much fun. But here's the thing about Jesus Christ. Him as a gift is available to anyone who will receive Him. Imagine Jesus in the manger. Now He's wrapped in the swaddling cloth. But imagine wrapped around the manger with Jesus in the manger is a ribbon and a bow. And on that ribbon, there's a name tag. And it says, "To Joey from God." Imagine a name tag on Jesus' manger. "To Cal from God." "To Jeff from God." "To Juanita from God." The name is you. It's to you from God. It's to you. Your name tag is there. Doesn't matter who you are, your name is on there. The greatest and perfect gift has your name on it. Are you excited? Do you want the gift? John 1:11 through 12. Hopefully they'll keep up. Thank you, guys. John 1:11 through 12. "He came to that which was His own, but His own did not receive Him. Yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. To all who received Him, Jesus is a gift to all who will receive. Not everyone accepts God's gift. Though they could receive, they walk away and say, no thanks." The gift of Jesus is available to anyone who will receive. Is that you? Will you receive Him? God has sent the perfect gift. Will you accept? You see, when we receive Christ, we receive all of Him, and we're not only given eternal life, but we're also given the right to become children of God. This is a gift that's without end. Eternal life and being a child of God and dwelling in the house of the Lord forever is a gift that will never end. Even though He is the perfect gift, as a child of God, we now have the responsibility to live as a child of God. I'm so thankful to be a child of God. But for some, they don't want to give up being a child of the world. And they ultimately reject God's gift. child of the world is just to live as one wants to, without being accountable to God for any of it. So accepting Jesus, we also accept living as a child of God, which is good. It is. We could probably end right there, but let's keep looking at the gift of Jesus. How many of you, when you wrap a Christmas present, you put a little thought in the type of wrapping paper that you use? You wrap with precision. All the corners are perfectly folded. You got the right paper for the person that you're giving it to. You add all these frilly, ribbons, bows. Obviously, I don't use them. But some of you put a lot of thought into wrapping these meticulously and perfectly. Oftentimes, I usually hope I've got enough paper and I don't have to patch a hole that I didn't have covered. Yes, that's me. And when in doubt, use a bunch of tape. It's part of unwrapping my gifts. It might take a while. But God's gift to us, I can tell you, it didn't come in fancy wrappings. The Son of God did not come looking like God. Isaiah 53, second half of verse 2. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to Him, nothing in His appearance that we should desire Him. The Son of God. We also know He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He arrived in a small, ordinary town of Bethlehem. He was born in an area that was common, where animals were kept, a stable or a cave. Whichever it wasn't a palace, it wasn't a castle. There were no fine linens, there was no servants. Just a place where farmers frequent. It probably didn't smell good either. His arrival was not spectacular, nor was His form. You see, Jesus had to put off His godness and put on humanness. John 1:14, the first part of that verse, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. The greatest gift came in an ordinary way, wrapped in human likeness, and even His appearance wasn't out of ordinary. The Word is Jesus in this verse. Jesus became flesh, He became man. Now Jesus is fully man, He's also fully God too, but He had to put aside, or at least limit, His godness for a time. You see, Jesus felt hunger. He felt tired. He felt sadness. He felt pain. He even felt death at the end. As we continue to look at Jesus as a gift, we see something very clear. Jesus as a gift shows us God's love for us. I would say that there are times that people will exchange gifts because it's just a traditional thing to do. But really, when I exchange gifts with my family, I hope that I put a little thought into it and I want to give them a gift because I love them. I want to think that I put in some thought before I give them gifts. Memorable gifts are the ones that are given with love. For me, the gift, to give a gift is because I do love the person. And I already shared John 3:16 with you that talks about God's love. But the love of the Father is a huge part of Christmas. If it were not for the love of God, Jesus would not have been sent. If it weren't because of a loving God, Jesus never would have been sent. That love wasn't just when Christ came, but served to fulfill a bigger plan of redemption for each of us. Romans 5, verses 6 through 8. You see, At just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Even when we were full of sin, God loved us. Jesus is absolutely the gift that shows how much he loves us. If you remember, if you were here when I gave a message on peace a little while ago, you might remember that because of God's love, he sent Jesus to bring us peace between us and God. That's right. Jesus brought us peace between us and God. Isaiah 53:5 says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." Now these were fulfilled at the crucifixion when Jesus died on the cross. But that was a part of the plan when God sent Jesus to us. You think about it, this was the plan. God sent Jesus to ultimately die for us. We could almost sit and think about that one for a while. But let's go on with the Christmas gift. Have any of you received money at Christmas time as a gift? I think most of us would say, hey, I'll take that. Money has value, probably not a lasting memory value, unless it's a huge gift. But sometimes we receive gifts at Christmas that are very valuable. Some might have sentimental value, others might just come at a cost financially. With Jesus as a gift, that came at a huge cost. When you really think about it, we often think about Jesus dying on the cross, and that is significant. That is a huge cost. We already read a couple passages about Jesus dying on the cross. But think about when Jesus came and took on flesh and dwelt among us. What was the value there? Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. This is a significant passage when we look at what the gift of Jesus cost him. Being in the very nature of God, Jesus took the lesser. He made himself nothing and assumed the nature of a servant. He took on human likeness and humbled himself and died on the cross. He was the only one. He was the only one that could bring redemption for us. He was both fully God and fully man. He was perfect and sinless. He was the only one who could pay the debt of my sin. Jesus was the only one who could give us eternal life. Here's an interesting thing. Jesus didn't have to do that. He could have rejected that, but he didn't. Matthew 26, 53 through 54. Do you think I cannot call on my Father? This is Jesus speaking here. Do you think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen this way? See, God sent Jesus as a gift. Jesus had a purpose to fulfill, and he humbled himself to his Father's will. And we see in the passage here that Jesus had a choice. He could have said, you know what, I'm not going to do this. All he'd have to do is call on his Father. Why do I say that? I say that because it's important. Jesus willingly humbled himself because of his love for each and every one of us. He took on human form. He was willing to go to the cross to fulfill his Father's will. When we receive Christ, we too are to humble ourselves to the loving Father's will. It isn't a bad thing, as we have seen so far. God has shown us an immeasurable love and rescued us from our death sentence. So it's not difficult to humble ourselves to our Heavenly Father's will. As I continue to think about Jesus as a gift, I remember getting a number of gifts when I was younger that just didn't last. Remote control cars and electronic things, I loved them. Seemed like every time I got a remote control car, it would die pretty soon. Now, it might have been because I might have been rough with it. I don't know. I was young. But when I got to be an adult, I actually was given a remote control helicopter. That's kind of fun. After a few flights, it quit working. So I took it back, got another one. I think that one made maybe one or two flights, and then that one quit working. There are many gifts throughout my lifetime that simply just didn't last. They broke, they failed, they didn't do what they were supposed to do. Here's the thing, God's gift of Jesus is not like that. Not at all. Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Part of that phrase is repeated in a number of different locations in the Bible, including Hebrews 13. He will never leave you nor forsake you. It doesn't mean that life will always be easy and you won't have hardships. I'm telling you, you will. But Christ will never leave you. He will never let you down. He'll never fail you. Now, sometimes our own expectations will fail us, our expectations of God, but He will never fail us. Now we're going to fail. When our faith is in Him, we can trust that the Lord will carry us through whatever we face. During this season, we're reminded of Christ as a gift and we give thanks to God. There was nothing we could do to earn or buy our salvation or buy our peace with God, but God gave us Jesus. Jesus gave Himself willingly, and our response is praise, adoration, thanksgiving, following Him. That's our response. Though we are recipients of Christ, there are others who may not be. Maybe they don't know about Jesus as a gift. Maybe they have rejected Him. They haven't received Christ as the gift yet. We have the ability to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others, and they too can experience the perfect gift. What a gift. Praise the Lord. Jesus, a gift that is immeasurable.